Haines Assembly candidates share their views on prominent borough issues, and we check in on local fisheries as the season winds down. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Five of the six candidates running for Haines Assembly shared their views on some of the borough's most pressing and polarizing local issues at a forum last week. Let's start with police service expansion. Haines lost its state trooper this year due to budget cuts and a relatively low crime rate. It's unclear if and when that position might return. So local leaders are considering expanding the police department's service area beyond the town site. Andrew Gray and Michael Fullerton were the most direct in their support for a police service expansion. Gray said crimes outside the town site affect all borough residents.
I don't believe this should be a matter where we think of ourselves in divided geographical regions.
And Fullerton said when someone calls 911, it shouldn't matter what neighborhood they live in.
So I am in favor of an expanded service area. I do think it's our moral obligation to do that.
But Brenda Josephson, Sean Mady, and Diana Lapham said police protection should come at the request of outer borough residents. So far, those residents have not rallied behind police service expansion. Here's Josephson.
So I believe that the jurisdiction at this point is trooper. I believe the call should go to the trooper, and it should be at the trooper's direction how it's followed up on.
The candidates were near unanimous on a different topic, the design for LUTAC dock. Fullerton was the first to bring up the dock, which engineers say is living on borrowed time. He said it's one factor that motivated him to run.
It's extraordinary to me that this is now a crisis.
The sticking point right now is whether the borough should seek funding for the least expensive dock design, which uses birthing dolphins and would cost around $20 million. Or if the borough should continue to pursue a $37 million design, which would maintain the dock's footprint. Fullerton, Josephson, Gray, and Lapham said the borough shouldn't give up on the preferred $37 million option. Here's Lapham.
I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet and go to a $21 million dolphin idea that's going to hamstring Haines for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
But Mady said the borough may have to rein in its expectations.
The LUTAC dock is failing. We need something now. So I think it's an option we should consider.
As the borough struggles to find funding for LUTAC dock, it's poised to award $95,000 to a new economic development corporation. The candidates ranged in their enthusiasm for the private-public partnership. It would utilize money from the borough's economic development sales tax. Fullerton and Mady were skeptical.
I think that at a time where we're debating whether $7,000 to keep a pool open, it might not be the best idea to spend $95,000 on a group that's still deciding what their mission statement is.
Lapham is supportive of the corporation based on the local business people leading it. Gray and Josephson are supportive, but said they would need to see certain things outlined in the HEDC's plan. Here's Josephson.
I've had twice in the last couple weeks people who are in Haines, they have a business, and they were reaching out to me for assistance with accounting and administrative burdens of their job. They're very effective in what they do, but that's a burden that they have to take on as sole proprietors. I think that this is a role that the Economic Development Corporation could fill.
If Lapham and Gray are elected, they'll be serving on an assembly with members whose recall they supported. Heather Lendy, Tresham Gregg, and Tom Morfitt all survived an August recall election. Lapham and Gray said they're not concerned about working with those assembly members.
I'm quite capable of moving on and doing the business of the people, which is what the reason I'm running.
Last year, Lapham started an online fundraiser for fired borough manager Bill Seward. Part of the fundraising effort was directed toward possible legal action against the borough.
I thought what the assembly did and the timing that the assembly did it, the reasons that the assembly did it, were not valid, and I felt they had to be held accountable for it.
The assembly ultimately approved a $55,000 settlement with Seward. Lapham said she does not see a conflict between her fundraising for Seward's case against the borough and her duty, if elected, to help manage the borough budget. The sixth assembly candidate, Stephanie Scott, was not able to attend this forum. The final Haines candidate forum is Tuesday at noon in the Chilcat Bakery, hosted by the Chamber of Commerce. Sockeye season in the Upper Lynn Canal is coming to a close. Fish and Game's Mark Soggy says after a summer of disappointing red harvests, the fall chum and coho numbers are about average. He says commercial gillnetters likely have a couple more weeks of salmon fishing. KHNS's Abby Collins spoke with Soggy on Friday.
It has been a couple weeks since we've last talked, so I want to catch up a little bit. It looks like the summer sockeye run is nearly over, and we're in the middle of the fall chum and coho runs. Is that accurate to say?
Middle or tail end, but yeah, depending on how late we keep fishing. But yeah, definitely no one's focusing on the sockeye at all. They're just caught incidentally in larger mesh nets. So we're pretty much done harvesting sockeye.
And how are those chum and coho runs looking?
The harvest is, numbers are about average, a little bit below the chum. We had about 12,000 last week or so, and that's about average. A week before, we were a little bit above average with close to like 15,000. The average was more like 11. So the fall chum run is coming in. The fish are, from all reports that I've heard, are bright and active and nice. It's not coming in great numbers, but it's coming in above average numbers. We're not seeing a whole lot in the wheels. Part of that's because the river levels have dropped, and we only have one wheel spinning. We had to move it into a place where deeper water is, which isn't necessarily that fishy a place. So, but our projection right now is to be past the lower end of the escapement goal for chum already. So we're okay for escapement, though. We have a lot of time yet before the fall chum run drops off, hopefully.
As the sockeye season comes to a close, do you have any thoughts on how it went overall? I don't think there was really ever a week when you were super pleased with the sockeye numbers this summer.
No, part of the job is to, and the hope is that we'll have a really good sockeye return for the commercial fishery. This year, the Chilcoot really disappointed, and we had a struggle just to make escapement goal there. We end up with 41,000 something, and very few fish harvested because I was so protective of them, trying to get past the minimum escapement goal at least. On the Chilcat side, things are better, though. I backed that way off in order because the escapement seemed like it was lagging, and there just wasn't that much in the harvest, and so I was conservative there as well. Fortunately, that return looks like it's doing fine. We were under our escapement goal, but projecting about 100,000 or so a while ago, like beginning of September, and then we had a shot of the river level drop down, and we had a shot of 20,000 fish over a week, and so now we're at around 82,000, which is well over the minimum 70,000. So everything is looking good on Chilcat, and I think we met the escapement goals on both those systems, and the Chilcat fish are still coming in. They'll keep going in probably until we pull the weir in early October.
Despite low harvest numbers of sockeye, just from talking to commercial fishermen in the area, they seem pretty happy with the way the season has been.
Yeah, I think, people have to look at things in terms of financial impact, and the chum fishery was so good, and the price was good, that people made a good living off the chum fishery. If they'd been dependent only on the sockeye, it would not have been a very good year at all. And that's something we have to try and not let happen in the future. Like I said before, I think we over-escaped and possibly in Chilcoot, and so we didn't get a good return for the number of fish we put in there. So maybe, ideally, last year the parent year was about 60-some thousand, so this year we're at 42. And so maybe we'll, 5 years from now, we'll have a really good year. Let's see.
How much longer do you expect this season to last?
We're going to run this week. We've got a couple of days opened up, same area, most of the canal open for a couple of days with the north end at Glacier Point. We'll do it this week and another week for sure, I would say, unless everything just drops off and there's nothing out there this week at all, which I don't expect. So it should be at least two more weeks, including this one.
That was Fish and Game's Mark Soggy talking with Abby Collins on Friday, September 22nd. After a relatively slow weekend, the Haines area moose hunt stands at 19. That includes 3 sublegal, 13 three-brow tine, 2 over 50-inch, and 1 spike fork. With warmer and sunnier weather, fish and game biologist Carl Koch asked hunters to be diligent about taking care of moose meat. Hunters can be cited for waste if they let meat spoil. The hunt may be shut down early if the number of animals taken gets close to 25. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. And coming up, my conversation with Haynesboro manager Deborah Schnabel about tomorrow's assembly meeting.